issues with the Jews. And I ask this not to be sensational or to try and be offensive. I ask it from the standpoint of someone who has majored in history, who comes at this issue from a logical and academic viewpoint. Was Hitler wrong to have concerns with the Jewish threat? Of course not. Do you all know that the feeling that Hitler had, the concern about the Jews, was universally shared? We don't hear that. We don't read that in our history books, but that was the case. I mean, we read it just a minute ago in Churchill's words, but that's what everybody was saying. Do you know that between World Wars I and II, Adolf Hitler was actually the most beloved international figure in the world? He was extremely popular in Britain. He was like a rock star. Politicians wanted to be photographed with him. He was extremely popular in America. You've got Prescott Bush and others like him helping to finance Hitler's rise. And a great deal of support was given to Hitler as he's rebuilding his decimated country. Why? Partly because they wanted to make money, but partly because the outside world knew that the Bolsheviks in the Soviet Union were a threat to everyone. The Jews in the Soviet Union were diabolical, and the world feared them. And they saw Hitler as the most capable leader able to mount an opposition to the Soviets, to keep their dreams of conquest in check. Germany kind of stood there in between them. So they supported Hitler. But the Rothschild spin machine comes along, changes things around, says, oh, you people, what are you thinking? You've got the story wrong. And he managed to start another world war that the Rothschilds did. I'm telling you all, World War II is not what you learned in school. There's a lot more to it. Let's finish up with World War I. It lasted 4 years, from 1914 to 1918. And after the war, it was time for the British government to make good on the promises to their banking masters, to whom they were indebted for the financing of the war. So in 1921, Churchill traveled to Palestine. Accompanying him was the famous Lawrence of Arabia. And they went there to survey the situation. And Churchill found that the native Arab Palestinians were furious at the efforts to displace the Palestinians in order to turn the lands over to the Jewish foreigners. So Churchill needed some kind of help to deal with this Palestinian problem. So he worked out a deal with a powerful Arabian sheikh, a man named Abdullah. Churchill promised Abdullah that if he could help keep the Arabs in check on the west side of the Jordan River that runs kind of down between Israel and Jordan, if he could keep them in check, then what Britain would do would be to create a new Arab kingdom on the east side of the Jordan with Abdullah himself as the new king. And that's exactly what happened. That's how the kingdom of Transjordan came into being. They created it for that purpose. Churchill thought the deal was a fair solution, but the Zionists were furious because they didn't want just the land on one side of the Jordan. They wanted the whole thing. They wanted the whole region. And he had just given away three-fourths of the lands of Palestine to the Arabs. Well, the Rothschild Zionists didn't just want the lands that they have today. They wanted it all. Made them mad. And Abdullah himself, while he was quite satisfied with the deal, he was about the only Arab that was satisfied. The rest of them, the Arab Palestinians, they were just as angry over the division of land as the Zionists were. By creating this de facto Arab state east of the Jordan, the Palestinians in the west were going to be displaced by a Jewish state, and they knew it. They knew that was the plan. So a delegation of Arab representatives sent a letter to Churchill, and they included these demands. They said, get rid of any notion of a Jewish state in Palestine. Grant the Arabs a government over Palestine. That's what they wanted. And up until the end of the war, remember, this region It wasn't a bunch of states as exist today. This was largely a unified empire under the Ottoman Turks. Churchill came in and balkanized the Middle East, and in so doing guaranteed that there was going to be constant warfare between these various factions and neighbors. And it continues to this day. We even see the Kurds are up there quite ticked off about things. But Churchill flat refused to consider the pleas of the Palestinians. His attitude was, these are the vassals of the British Empire. They will do what their overlords command them to do. But I think that attitude over time, I think time has shown how well that has worked out. It hasn't worked out at all. In the early aftermath of Churchill's decisions, the Arabs started carrying out riots to protest, much as we see the Palestinians of today doing at the border fence. This has been a fight going on, the same fight going on for a very long time now. And because from the very beginning, the native Palestinians have been repressed. For example, Churchill helped the Jews to harness the power of the Jordan River to produce electricity for the Jewish settlements. But in the process, it deprived local Palestinians of a water source that they had been using for 2,000 years, actually longer. There were some in the British government who saw these abuses by the Zionists and their puppet Winston Churchill, and they didn't like it. And they introduced a motion to nullify the Balfour Declaration, to put an end to the Rothschild plans to take control of Palestine. They knew this was a dirty deal. One British representative after another rose up in support of nullifying the Balfour Declaration and putting an end to this dream of a Jewish state, which they knew was wrong. They said that the plans were unfair to the natives. They said that the entire operation was going to create an unjust tax burden on the British people. And so this anti-Zionist motion passed by an overwhelming majority in the House of Lords. British Parliament has two houses. You've got the House of Lords and the House of Commons, kind of like we have the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. Well, in the House of Lords, the vote was 160-29 in favor of getting rid of the Balfour Declaration and sticking it to the Rothschilds. But this was just the first step. It also needed to pass in the House of Commons. Just like in the U.S. Congress, you have to have a bill pass on both sides. Winston Churchill was able to work his magic on the other side. He persuaded the House of Commons to vote down the motion. And so, but the truth is, time passed, and the British government dragged its feet. Wasn't going to do anything. They didn't want to. And when Churchill was no longer in office, just things went stagnant. 15 years went by. Still no Jewish state had been established. But in 1937, there was a commission called the British Peel Commission. They proposed basically a two-state solution inside Palestine. One for the Palestinians, one for the Jews, each with their own independence. The idea was strongly opposed by Churchill and his Zionist friend that I mentioned earlier in the video, Chaim Weizmann. Their counsel was for the Jews to just hold out until Britain agreed to give them all of the lands without any provision for the Arabs. Stick it to the Arabs. Just keep holding out for something better. Well, the tide turns in favor of the Arabs. And in 1939, the British government actually issued a white paper that put strict limits on this ongoing flood of Jewish immigrants pouring into Palestine, because that was only making things worse. By this time, the Zionists had formed a deadly terrorist network. And I'm not saying this in a hyperbolic way. I mean, just like we talk today about Al-Qaeda being a terrorist network, the Jews had a terror network. A legitimate, bona fide terrorist network that the United States and Britain equally acknowledged as being a terrorist network. They were conducting terrorist operations not only to drive the natives off their own lands, but to try to force the British to withdraw from the region. But that 1939 white paper it not only put limits on Jewish immigration, it also put a total ban on future Jewish immigration, complete end to Jewish immigration. And that was going to go into effect in 1944. And this white paper was staunchly defended by the prime minister at the time, who was Neville Chamberlain. And so the hope of a Rothschild military state of its own in the Middle East seemed to be at an end. But again, time and time and time again, what is the cycle? What does the powerful Rothschild cartel do when it needs to break an impasse, when things have plateaued? It starts a war, right? And in response to World War II, through the machinations of the Rothschild network in Britain, Neville Chamberlain, the chief opponent of Israel, was removed from office, and Zionist puppet Winston Churchill was brought back, this time given a political seat in the most powerful position in the nation as prime minister. Fast forward, World War II came and went, and immediately after the war, Churchill lost his position as prime minister. Following the war, the Rothschilds, though, had an even bigger justification for the establishment of a Jewish state. Despite the best and most complete collection of census records, and I've looked at a lot of these, I've studied, I've read books by people smarter than me who have put more time into this than me, that have collated the information, the best records from the time showed that around 250,000 to 300,000 Jews died in concentration camps during World War II. But the Rothschild-controlled media and the many Zionist groups inflated the figure from 250,000 to 6 million, a veritable Holocaust of the Jewish people, a group so brutally savaged that there was no other way to rectify the crimes done against them than to create a homeland in Palestine just for them. This was propaganda. And while this propaganda was churning, the Rothschild-backed Zionist terrorist groups increased their attacks, not just on the Palestinians, but on the British, who were also standing there in the way of the Jews taking control. The primary Jewish group carrying out these terrorist attacks was called Irgun, I-R-G-U-N. They attacked Palestinian villages, they burned houses, they killed fathers, they raped mothers, they left a trail of blood and horror that would make ISIS envious. By 1946, Irgun had displaced nearly 300,000 native Palestinians from their homes, roughly the same number of Jews who died in the concentration camps. But their operations culminated on Monday, July 22nd, 1946. Very important date, very important event. The British maintained its administrative headquarters for Palestine and for Transjordan in Jerusalem at the King David Hotel. Big hotel, tall hotel. The British had been fighting back against the Jewish terrorist groups in Palestine, and some of their counterterrorism operations were being orchestrated from the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. And one of those British operations is called Operation Agatha, and that included raids on Jewish agencies. I can't remember the names of the agencies right now, but went into these Jewish agencies, grabbed their files, and got the names of a lot of people that were supporting these terrorist operations, and they were keeping these files at the King David Hotel. So with the agreement of the Jewish paramilitary group, the Haganah, Irgun carried out a terrorist attack on the British headquarters. Irgun operatives disguised themselves as Arab hotel waiters, as Arab laborers. They went in, they planted a massive bomb in the main building of the hotel with the intent of not only killing the British personnel, but also of destroying those records that could identify the Jewish terrorist leadership, that they had gotten from Operation Agatha. Well, the explosion from that bomb, it didn't just destroy the hotel. It massacred 91 people. Not just British, people from multiple nations, including Americans. It injured scores more victims. Bloody, horrible massacre. The Jews attacked Britain. The Jews attacked America. And the British government, they decided, you know, it's just not worth this ongoing effort to fight the Jewish terrorists. And so in 1947, the British government announced that they are going to be withdrawing from Palestine. And the British mandate ended a year later. On May 14th, 1948, the Rothschilds got their victory. The Jews who had moved into Palestine declared their independence. Now, at first, Britain refused to acknowledge Israel. And 9 months passed. They still hadn't recognized a Jewish state as being legitimate. But with Winston Churchill back in Parliament now, leading the pro-Zionist movement, the British government eventually conceded defeat. They formally recognized the Zionist state of Israel. And Churchill's lifelong friend, Chaim Weizmann, became Israel's first president. And you know who became Israel's first prime minister? The leader of the Irgun terrorist network, Menachem Begin, became Israel's first prime minister. That'd be like taking Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, and making him the head of a new country. Just outrageous. And in that first year, Israel launched a genocidal purge of the native Arab population, with the Rothschilds having financed this massive Israeli military that it had long dreamed of having. Building them up with tanks and everything else, the Zionist forces attacked the Palestinian civilians, expelling more than 700,000 people and driving them out of the land. And that's in addition to the previous 300,000 that had been driven out. In fact, the Arabs who were living in Palestine at the time that Israel declared its independence, 80% of the people who were living there then were forced out of Israel. They became refugees in other countries, including Syria, the Marmouk Palestinian refugee place that ISIS loves to slaughter. And I could go into discussing why ISIS, which is a Mossad creation, along with the CIA, targets the Palestinians there, but I'll not digress. But these refugees went into Syria, they went into Lebanon, millions of them in Jordan, or with their descendants. The Zionists sacked nearly 600 Palestinian villages, extinguishing them as their war machine rolled along. They engaged in horrible war crimes, horrible atrocities. They conducted notorious massacres of Palestinian civilians during the Deir Yassin massacre, for example. And I should devote an entire episode just to that one massacre. Because according to International Red Cross, the Jews butchered the villagers in Deir Yassin. The Red Cross went in and they counted 150 civilian corpses, including children, that the Jews had killed, just in one water cistern alone. The Red Cross reported that there were corpses strewn in the streets, many of which had been beheaded by the Jews, that had been disemboweled. There's an Israeli historian named Benny Morris, and he noted that there were also, in this massacre, many cases of mutilation. They didn't just kill the people, they carved them to pieces like monsters, like beasts. The Jews brutally raped the Palestinian women in this village. The Jewish terrorists did that. I mean, the Jewish soldiers did that. We can't call them terrorists now. Now they've been legitimized. And to add insult on top of all of this terror, Israel passed a series of laws preventing the displaced Palestinians from being allowed to return to their homes, from being disallowed to reclaim their property. They can't even come back and take the things, take their personal possessions that they had to leave behind as they fled from these terrorists. The expulsion of the Palestinians in 1948 is considered by many historians to be an example of bona fide ethnic cleansing.
One thing, knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.
And indeed it was. And the Palestinians commemorate this mass expulsion by the Jews. They commemorate each year on May 15th. May 15th. They call it Nakba Day, meaning Day of the Catastrophe. The leader of the Irgun terror group that massacred nearly 100 innocent people at the King David Hotel, Menachem Begin, he went on to form a political party. The name of that political party is Likud, which continues to this day to be an extremist and racist political party devoted to the destruction of the Palestinian people. Benjamin Netanyahu is the leader of the Likud party. And like the terrorists before him, Netanyahu, who is a former elite Israeli commando with blood on his hands, he today looks for any opportunity to commit violence against the Palestinians. Folks, it is no coincidence that Donald Trump and Netanyahu timed the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem on May 14th, one day before they knew the Palestinians would be gathering for Nakba Day. Why? This was intended to be provocative. It was intended to inflame the Palestinian people. Extremely insulting. Remember what I said. When you get someone upset, when you get them into a high emotional state, you can manipulate them. So the goal here was to get the Palestinians, who they knew were going to be gathering the very next day after the U.S. Embassy was dedicated in Jerusalem. They wanted them angry. They wanted them to take actions because that would give the Zionists further pretext to conduct harsh crackdowns on the people and to go in and seize even more territory from the Palestinians than they already have. Truly, there are few regimes on the planet today that are as racist and genocidal as the state of Israel, in my opinion. And I don't base my opinion on my feelings. I base it on historical facts. I base it on the actual textbook definition of genocide, on statistical proof from many sources of a Jewish genocide of the Arab Palestinians. And remember, among the 1 million Palestinians that were driven out of their homes by the Jews, among many of the Palestinians to this day who are being persecuted by the Jews, many of them are Christians. They're not all Muslims. As a Christian, I feel empathy toward all of them, but I can't help but forget that the Jews in Israel are attacking my Christian brothers and sisters. As I reported in detail previously, in a different video, it's no coincidence that the wealthiest Zionists, Jewish Zionists in America, including Rupert Murdoch, Sheldon Adelson, it's no coincidence they financed Donald Trump's campaign for president. It's no coincidence that Donald Trump was bailed out directly by the Rothschilds in the late 80s. It's no coincidence that the Rothschild agent who helped to save Trump's empire, a man named Wilbur Ross, has now been made Trump's Secretary of the Commerce and is shaping U.S. policies to benefit the Rothschild syndicate. Don't tell me the Rothschilds don't have control over the U.S. government. It's no coincidence that Trump's administration has more Goldman Sachs and Jewish Wall Street bankers than any administration in U.S. history. It is no coincidence that Donald Trump has placed his Jewish daughter and son-in-law in some of the highest positions of power in the country. It is no coincidence that Jared Kushner and his Zionist family is close personal friends that go way back with Benjamin Netanyahu. Donald Trump is not America first, and I don't base that on my opinion. Again, these are facts. He is a Zionist Israel first president, not an America first president. And his military conquests in the Middle East and his provocative State Department actions in favor of Israel over and over and over again proves it. Anyone who denies that Donald Trump is an avowed Zionist is living in a world of fantasy. Israel has its tentacles all around America. They've got us. The Rothschild network of Zionist neocons infest our government. They infest our government like rats in a New York sewer. People need to wake up and take a principled stand against this network. The worst thing that we can do to the Rothschilds and their political puppets in the U.S. government is to shine a light on them, shine the light of truth on them, turn the floodlights of truth on their operations to out their agents, to out their operatives, to identify their psychological operations against our people. It's important for people to know what's really going on in the world. You won't get it from the mainstream media, but I will do my best to bring it to you. Please share my videos. I'm asking for your help in doing that. Thank you all for watching. For Blackstone Intelligence, I'm Jake Morfonios.
Issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed, and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Okay, welcome back. I hope you appreciated Jake's work as much as I did. He's done a lot of research. He is particularly fond of history. And I think he really laid this thing out. If you listen to the Netanyahu speech that he gave AIPAC after having heard the truth about the founding of Israel, you will be as sickened by what he says to all of those people. And that's why I made the comparison to the people in Scientology when their leader, David Petkevich, feeds them a whole line of garbage and keeps them indoctrinated into that cult. And like Scientology, the Zionists tell their followers that should anyone disagree with you or criticize Israel, then they must be attacked. And that's the same strategy that they use in Scientology. Anyone who criticizes Scientology, all the members are well-trained and well-versed into attacking the critics. And that is exactly the same identical strategy used by the people of AIPAC, who are absolutely dedicated Zionists. I am 100% certain they have no idea what the truth is about the creation of Israel. They have no idea who is behind it. And I would guarantee they have no idea about the bloodshed inflicted upon the poor Palestinian people who were living peacefully until Israel decided it wanted their country. And they have not stopped. This is ongoing. The lies are ongoing. And I'm very grateful for Jake's effort in, you know, digging up the truth and letting us know what it is. And I do believe we're going to have to start sharing it in spite of the fact that we are looking at cultists. I see no distinction between Zionists and Scientologists. They're both functioning under lies, and they're mind controlled to defend this outrageous institution, both of them outrageous, I might add, Zionism and Scientology, at all costs. Not only will they defend it in argument, they absolutely give tons of money to it. That's how effective the propaganda is in keeping these people in these cults. And I consider Zionism a cult. Okay, we have some callers with some comments about, I think, what we've just heard, I hope. Ken in Fort Worth, what did you think of all that?
It was very informative, and I'm just glad I don't live over there.
Me too.
The word Semite is not in the King James Bible, and the word Semite is not in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. It is in the NIV Bible.
Okay.
Where'd the word come from? I have no idea. It sounds like a political ploy, period.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Absolutely.
That's what it looks like. That's what it is. It just popped up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if you're familiar that when Netanyahu, who came to America, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, he wanted all of Congress to hear him talk. And by gosh, they all showed up, okay? And they gave him a standing ovation. Now, come on, people. What is that all about? Well, Cynthia McKinney told us what that's about. If they don't appease AIPAC, then they get no help in raising money to get reelected. In fact, if they don't appease AIPAC, AIPAC will absolutely throw their financial support behind a candidate to get rid of them.
More than likely. What was that one black Congress lady that McKinney?
Yes, Cynthia McKinney.
That's what she said.
Yep. Absolutely, that's what she said.
Hey, let me tell you what Jesse Ventura said. He was governor?
Yes.
Minnesota. He says they called him down one day, and they said the CIA is going to, you know, work around here and doing stuff. How about that?
Yeah.
I wrote my governor in Texas over here, and I told him that's what Jesse Ventura said. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I says, is there any CIA working in any office down there? I don't care. As long as it's on the door.
Oh, my. There you have it.
As long as they put his name and CIA on the door so I know where it's at. It's still a free country. If they want to stick around, snoop around, I don't bother me, but I want to know who you are.
Wow.
Put it on the door. We all know.
Well, I think his phraseology saying that America has been infested is absolutely accurate, particularly if you listen to what Cynthia McKinney has to say about Congress. Their money is everywhere, and now Trump has put them in positions over different agencies, over different programs. They're everywhere. So I'm really pondering how anyone could continue to think Trump is going to drain the swamp. Obviously, he can't do that with all of the Zionists surrounding him. So that's just rhetoric.
He's working on it. Anyway, I'll talk to you later. Nice talk.
Okay, thanks. Okay, we have another caller, Bill in Wisconsin. Are you there, Bill? Did we lose Bill?
Yeah, good show, Al.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, RBN has part of this cult, and it's called the Jamie Kelso Show. Okay, it's on every evening from 8 to 9, and he's one of these that Trump can do no wrong. Trump is not anybody but his own man. So I think you and Jake ought to call in his show and inform him, because he claims he doesn't know all this. He's constantly defending Trump.
Well, you know, we're known by our company. It's obvious that Trump, especially when he participated in moving the embassy to Jerusalem, I don't know how anybody could have missed that fact. And until I heard Jake talk about the significance of the date, well, my gosh, I mean, that's horrific. And they did it on purpose, as he said. It was done on purpose to upset the Palestinians, and I don't know how many people have followed that story. I did have a brief conversation with John about it. And then Palestinians decided to demonstrate, and they have been just shooting them. I mean, it's been horrific what they're doing.
Shooting them in the legs.
Yes.
So that, and then not giving them medical treatment.
Yes.
So, and then killing more than one of them, obviously. On that particular day, Mr. Kelso had a show praising what a great ceremony that was, where Pastor Hagee was there, and, you know, all of the Israelis were there praising it, and what a great thing it was. And he was just ecstatic about that show and about what was going on.
Wow.
So the cult is there, and RBN listeners ought to call in, and he won't let me on the show. Occasionally he does. If I bring up a point, then he off air just when I'm off, he just simply says, you know, what a scoundrel I am. So that's life.
Oh my gosh. Well, people can send him an email. I think all our emails are posted on the RBN website, and ask him to listen to the archives of tonight's show and make some comment, because this is history. This is history, and this is what Trump is doing right now. Trump is not a good guy, folks. I'm sorry, but I mean, when you dig up the money that they've helped save his casino, you think he's going to go against them?
Well, like I said, he's like Jake said, he's got him in the family there. So,
yep, he sure does.
It's not good, and that's all I have to say. Thank you for a great show.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. Well, I learned things listening to Jake Morfonius give that kind of overview, which to me was, again, I think it's just dynamite. First of all, I did not know. I knew that Wilson was blackmailed into signing the Federal Reserve Act. I had no idea that he was blackmailed into appointing the first Caesarian Jewish judge, putting him on the Supreme Court. I did not know that. That was news to me. I did know that Rothschild originally founded the Jewish state of Israel in Palestine. In fact, one of his heirs did an interview in Haaretz, and I do have it on my website, where he admitted that his great-grandfather had founded Israel. So it always was a Rothschild enterprise, and no one has ever accused the Rothschilds of being God-fearing, Torah-following Jews. No one has ever made that accusation in my knowledge. You know, I've never heard it. I also did not know that Churchill was behind the scenes and helped to create Israel long before World War II. I was completely clueless about that. I didn't know that Churchill had a connection to the Rothschilds until I listened to Jake's research. I did not know what happened in Palestine in the late 40s. I knew they were displaced. I've always heard the term They were displaced. I never heard the details about what that displacement was, which is beheading, which is disemboweling, which is murdering of their children. That I did not know until I listened to Jake Morfonius. However, I did know, and I have examples of it right here in my house, that the American people were not in favor of World War I, and it was a massive, massive propaganda campaign launched in our country, and Ed Bernays was right in the middle of it. In fact, that was his first important job, was to sell the American people on World War I. I do remember hearing Eustace Mullins say it was a hard sell because before World War I, there were a lot of Germans in America, and they were getting along just famously with the American people. There was no problem. They were respected. They were very much a part of our culture. And the American people, to get them to go against Germans in Germany, was going to be a difficult accomplishment. In fact, in Columbus, Ohio, there is a place called German Village. And these houses are quite old, and they are very lovely. It is considered incredibly valuable real estate. All the roads are bricked. I mean, it's just dynamite. And the restaurants are wonderful. They have a festival every fall. So even in Columbus, Ohio, there was a significant German presence. Eustace Mullins, again, said that American people got along well with those of Germany descent. However, there was a campaign, and my husband started years ago collecting posters. He would go to auctions, and these old posters would be for sale. And he brought some home, and they were propaganda posters that were used prior to World War II, during World War I, to incite the population. A lot of the propaganda, and shown it to me, that was artificially created to convince the American people that the Germans were barbaric. So, what can I say? This is well orchestrated and well funded. I have a little note here that I have poor network connection. I don't know if you could still hear me. If you can, Ken, let's take the call. Okay, good. Let's take the call from Carol in Idaho. Carol, how are you?
Hello, can you hear me, Al?
Yes, yes.
Good, good, good. Listen, that was a wonderful presentation. I don't know if anybody who laid it out better than Jake did. And I want to thank you for playing that.
Yes. Carol, thank you. Yes. I'm so glad you liked it, because I was hoping people would like it like I did.
Oh, fantastic. Who of sincere heart and with the two brain cells to rub together, who could not appreciate that, you know? Anyway, Al, the reason that I called was simply to say I did not need to wait 2 years into the Trump administration to be upset with him when he goes over and makes Jerusalem the king city of the world, right? I didn't need that, because do you remember watching Trump's address to the joint House of Congress, what do you call that, joint session of Congress, the special joint session right after his inauguration? I could not believe it. Two points. He went out of his way to make 2 points. And it was almost like, Al, it was like I say, it didn't even fit in the context. First he says, we have always been wonderful friends with Israel, and we are going to continue. Then he secondly said, and I'm paraphrasing now, and we're going to have our sights on Iran, and Iran better not get out of line. It's lucky my TV didn't get a rock thrown through it. I was so angry, you know?
Well, that should have told everybody where he's at right then. Everybody should have said, oh, gosh. You know?
Yeah, but so many people and so many patriots, wasn't that a wonderful speech? I thought, no, I hated his AIPAC speech also prior to his election. That was absolutely horrid. And Jamie Kelso loved it. He thought it was fantastic. Anyway, that's all I want to say, Al. God bless you for your show.
Thanks. I'm glad people are appreciating this. And I got to...
Oh, yeah.
a note from Ken, the board op, saying a lot of Germans settled in Texas. You know, there's what do we have? The Oktoberfest around the country. I mean, the Germans were well integrated into our society. I've known German people. I mean, it must have been difficult convincing the Americans that the Germans were barbarians when they could see they were not. They were wonderful people.
Call others what you are. You know, if you're deceptive, you call others what you are.
It would appear that way. I mean, don't you think it's sad, Carol, how much false history we have been fed our entire life?
Yeah, and Al, you know, I've got a very good couple here just a mile or two from me, good Christian patriots. And the lady says to me, when I sent her something to try to point out what was happening in Palestine, she wrote back and she said, Carol, we will never, ever agree on this point, so please do not ever send anything like that here. You know, so I don't. I let her go and leave her to God.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, bless you. Thanks.
Okay, stay tuned, people, for our weekly imaging prayer, and thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week.
By mass media, it's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I'd like to end tonight's show by reaching up to a higher power, whatever that might mean to you, to assist us
in creating the future we all want. Close your eyes as you listen to this beautiful song by Inca Gold called
it's
Shout
Falling Now
to the Lord. And image families and children enjoying Earth's healthy meadows.
I turn off the phone. I'm going on to Twitch.
In perpetuity. Image them laughing, singing, and dancing. Visualize humanity thriving.
Yeah.
Free from want or fear.
Okay.
Picture the peaceful world we all deserve.
I can, yeah.
Let's joyfully create our future together.
So what do I do? Okay.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.